Welcome to Beyond Rent, the property management podcast brought to you by Rent Manager. Each episode, we sit down with an expert to talk industry updates, tech solutions, and top tips for those in the property management space. And now, let's get to the conversation and go Beyond Rent.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Beyond Rent. Not sure about you, but I don't think about water consumption in my everyday life. But I probably should, because there's a real cost to it and it can dramatically impact the bottom line, especially in our industry. So we have Ellie with Metron joining us today to talk about the impact of water usage and how smart technology can walk alongside of us and help us manage this important part of property management. Ellie, welcome to Beyond Rent.
Excited to be here. Thanks for the invitation, Joe.
Yeah, this is going to be great. Like I said, in my everyday personal life, I turn water on and off. I don't really think twice about it. If it works, it's great. If it doesn't work, then there's other problems. But I don't think about the cost and the amount of gallons and things like that that I'm using. Instead, it's just automatically there. So I'm excited about our conversation because I think you're going to help us understand more about why water consumption is so important. But before we get there, let's make sure our audience knows who you are. So go ahead and introduce yourself and let us know what you're all about.
Great. So I am Ellie Graydon. I am the Chief Data and Product Officer at Metron. We're a smart meter water manufacturing company that has been collecting really valuable data for about 30 years on who is using how much water, when, where, and using some new machine learning methods and statistical analysis, we can tell you for what you're using that water. So it gives us a really good, rich data set to be working with and to be figuring out how water impacts the business of water and the business of real estate, as it turns out. A little bit more about my background. I actually have a doctorate. I've done a lot of complex systems work, but mostly come at this from the data and AI side of things. So I think a lot about, and I've done a lot of work in emergency management. So think about the sort of impact of things like water and electricity on people's emergency conditions, but also their day-to-day conditions.
Yeah, this is a lot of fun. So we talk about AI all the time, right? It's just common to talk about it in the technology world, but a lot of it is about how it helps us write or how it maybe helps put together different, like I'm going to say data sets, but more of like on the content side, ideas, maybe reviewing emails and calendars, things like that. But we don't often really dive into AI, machine learning, and data in the way that I think you are and what you're talking about and how it can really help analyze things and help us understand things better. So super excited to hear all about how you're using that knowledge about it. Like you said, 30 years of data is a lot of data to go through and understand.
It is. And it's at very high resolution. So it means that we have a bunch of very clean data that we can train models on. And that's often the biggest barrier to building a good AI model. So that's where we get really excited about what we're able to do.
Yeah, excellent. Well, let's jump right in. Let's start talking about water meters, smart water meters, and help me understand a little bit of, I guess, maybe even the history of water meters, because I understand what a water meter is, but what's the difference when you say the word smart water meter? What's the real, I guess, differentiating factors that separate the two?
The big difference in is how we collect the data and report back the data. So at the core of it, what we're talking about is a piece of hardware, a piece of metal or composite plastic that is measuring the water that's going through the pipe, very simply. Now, that can be a static meter, meaning that it's something like an ultrasonic meter where you're measuring that water flow using, in this particular case, sound waves. In other cases, it's a mechanical mechanism. So it'll actually be a turning mechanism that's going around, and actually a magnet is reading those turns and then calculating the water that's moving through the pipe. That data has to get collected somehow. So at least at the way that we do this at Metron, but this is true with a lot of different hardware manufacturers in this space, we actually then build a register or a little mini computer that sits on top of the meter, and it collects that information. You then somehow have to get that information out of the hardware. And so there have historically been a lot of different ways that we do this. One of the primary ways, though, is through radio frequency. So somebody will stand up a full tower for radio frequency that actually collects the frequencies and the reads from all the meters in the local area. What Metron does is a lot of cellular, so that tends to be where we specialize, is actually in a cellular communications market. There are other manufacturers who play there as well, and it's sort of this sort of mixed set of methods for ways of getting the data out of that little computer that sits on top of the meter and sending it up to the cloud so that the data can be collected. That, in a nutshell, is a smart meter. That's saying, okay, well, we can actually do this automatically, right? We can collect the data, send it up to the comms, collect it all in the cloud, and then use it for any number of different downstream applications in different software packages, that kind of thing. In a billing platform, for example, like yours. When we talk about the sort of old school world, the way that we did this was that those same hardware meters would be collecting the information about the data, and then it would be showing up on, say, a little LCD screen. Or it would just be collected on, and then what would happen is you would actually have drive-by routes. So people would be driving by in their trucks, right? Quite literally. And initially they would stop and actually go in and hand write down all the reads, right? This is it ages me a little bit, but this is how they did this when I was growing up, right? Somebody would drive by, they would get out of their truck, come over, read the number. And in fact, at that point, it was often a rotator cube, right? So write down the number, that would be your consumption, and they would calculate it for the monthly bill. As that then progressed, right, then it could be a drive-by, and they would do a radio frequency drive-by reporting. And then they started doing the towers, and we started being able to build up progressively better infrastructure, especially as cellular was rolling out and it became much more inexpensive, and particularly in rural areas. Cellular became a really important way of collecting this information. And that's partly because if you think about it, when you have a city where you can stick in a big piece of infrastructure to collect radio frequency from all of the local meters, it's one big tower for a lot of local meters. If you're in a small town, though, of 5,000 people or of 3,000 people, or in your middle of Wyoming, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to stick a big radio frequency tower in the middle of a cow field. So this is where the cellular technology is really valuable, because you actually have good distribution. So the way to think about the communications on a smart meter is just, okay, what's the most efficient way to send information, collect information, and then send that information back to home in a way that captures it regularly and gets good coverage across the geographic region.
Yeah, and this is really interesting because people in our industry, I think, for the most part, probably have some understanding of meters, right? Because it does touch the industry so often in many roles. But I imagine the general public, when you think about water meters, they don't think twice about how the water company is getting these readings. And even in, I would say, personal applications or private applications in private homes, much of this data collection is happening in similar ways, right? Where old school, you had the guy that came to your house and would write down the reading, and then it's advanced over time to make it easier and more efficient and less labor intensive along the way.
Exactly right. Well, and there's also a big difference in terms of where you live in the country. So, in regions that are water rich, where you're sitting right on Lake Erie or Lake Michigan, and water feels infinite, water is really inexpensive, and it's viewed as a sort of, well, as an infinite resource. Then you get down to Arizona, New Mexico, Southern California, and all of a sudden you're in a very, very different set of conditions where people are measuring every drop. There are a lot of regulations about, well, if you have a house that's an even number, then you're allowed to irrigate for 1 hour on Tuesday mornings and 1 hour on Thursday mornings, and that's it, right? All of these, well, a whole bunch of rules to make sure that we're actually saving the water when there's scarcity or when there's a drought and those sorts of things, and in these water poor areas or water scarce areas. So I think that's the other piece that I've learned, is the degree to which our geographic location changes how big a deal we think water is. I grew up in an area where water was pretty scarce, and it was rural. And so it was a thing we thought about quite a bit, because I was on a well, and you didn't want to run out of the water in the well, because then you have to dig a new one. It's a very different scene than somebody who lives in a city in the east, where, yeah, you just turn on the tap.
Yeah, it really is interesting to think about that side. Being from Cincinnati, Ohio, been here my whole life, I don't really think about water in that way, right? I've always had access to public water. Again, turn on the water, it's there. I don't think twice about it. You pay the bill once a month and you kind of move on with your life, right? But it impacts people in different ways. And so Help me connect this to the real estate world a little bit. So having the ability to have smart meters and have easier access to these readings must have a big impact on how people view real estate in different areas.
It does. So a couple of interesting points of note and just sort of ways to start to frame the problem. So first off is if you're talking about a large, say, apartment building, very often water is pretty low on the list of costs. Very often it won't even make the top 10. Very often, you know, if there's an elevator in the building, the elevator repair person gets paid more than you spend on water. On the flip side, though, for manufactured housing, it tends to be one of the top two drivers of cost. Now, especially when you're talking about something that has a top two driver cost, obviously that's going to have a very direct impact on real estate property or and real estate values. It's also ends up being really useful information for M&A activity, or mergers and acquisition activity, as people are evaluating properties to purchase. Water becomes something they're paying attention to. Now, it's not just the usage, though. The other thing that we're doing in the water industry writ large is that we do tell you how much water is going through the pipe and therefore how much you're going to bill. But we can also tell you when there are problems. So when there's a big leak, there's a big change in usage. All of a sudden, you have a massive spike. Or if, for example, you're running a data center and all of a sudden your water goes to zero, which is as big a problem or more of a problem as you can imagine when you need it for cooling, those sorts of changes we can also report on. So we're using a lot of that consumption data and other indicators of leak, for example, to give notifications to the property owners in addition to the utility managers, for example. Now, the reason that gets really important in the real estate market is one, because that's a major driver of costs. We were working with one group of garden style homes. We were able to save them $40,000 a month just in a single audit, because it turns out they were hemorrhaging water out of a bunch of leaks that they didn't know about all around the property. And all we did was add in a series of sub-meters, meaning that we took the one big meter that's coming in from the utility and broke it down to each individual building. Once you break it down into each individual building, now you can narrow the problem enough to be able to say, oh, there's a problem in that building and in that building, but these three buildings are fine, right? But all of a sudden now you can go solve those issues because you know where they are. So I think that's the other way that we think about this from the property perspective and the real estate perspective, is that it's a rapid indicator of near-term problems that they can have a big impact on their bottom line if they fix, and also reduce the likelihood of property damage, which is the other big deal for leaks, as we all know, as people who live in homes. Water is one of the fastest and biggest problems that we have. You don't want your bathtub falling out of the upstairs bath onto your head in the kitchen.
No, it's true. I mean, and to maybe dig in on that whole idea of tracking down leaks and consumption. I think that's so interesting because when you rewind again back to the history of meters, that data, you really couldn't tell. Yes, you knew the whole month maybe was higher than the prior month, but then you might start asking yourselves like, well, maybe we did just use more or less. With smart meters, you can really dig into that data and know date and time. When did it increase? How long has it been going on, and pinpoint the issue much faster, much quicker. Like you said, the damage water can create is massive, and it's not, even a slow trickle over time can create a lot of damage, but a full-on leak can create tens of thousands of dollars worth of damage in minutes or hours. It doesn't take long.
No, that's exactly right. And there's this sort of image in our heads of a water main break when you suddenly get a big sinkhole in the middle of the road. No, you don't usually get one quite that big in your house, but it causes that kind of damage real quick. It's one of the biggest drivers of insurance claims in that context. So it's certainly a big deal. What I want to also pull forward is something you just mentioned, which is the resolution of the water, right? So when we're thinking about consumption data, there are still some locations, and especially when you're doing a drive-by system where you're having to actually write down the numbers, you're only doing it on a per month basis. And in some places, you don't even get a bill until after 3 months. Well, what that means is you can have a leak going for a really long time and never know it. And that's where the smart water industry has come a really long way. And I think there's a lot of power in these data to be able to do a lot better. So the industry standard is very rapidly becoming 1-hour increments. So we actually collect data at 1 hour and then send it up. Some companies are doing 15 minute. We specialize in 1 minute analytics. And what we find is, as in any data collection and analytics problem set, the higher the resolution, the information, the better the resolution of the results you get. So when we're looking at 1 minute analytics, one is that even when we're looking at 1 hour, we can tell you what is your irrigation versus what is your indoor use? What is your washing machine? And that ends up being really useful because often you have a lot more control over the amount that you irrigate your lawn than you do over how many loads of laundry you have in your house, especially if you have kids or animals. So you don't just suddenly decide to stop doing laundry, but you can usually irrigate for a few fewer hours or at a better time of day, those sorts of changes. So those are, that's sort of one set of things that we can then do with that high resolution data, and you can watch it over time. So that as we're doing this, we're actually now running some machine learning driven alerts. And this is where you'll hear me become a real data nerd very quickly. The statistics are very fun. So you can actually start to look at what normal is for every single meter or for every single home. So if you know your normal work schedule is a Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and the kids show up at 6 p.m. and everybody makes dinner at that time of night, and that's when you're getting your big water usage. Well, then with using some basic statistics, we can say, oh yeah, here's your normal schedule. But if you work night shift and all of a sudden you have a different pattern, all of a sudden we can start to pick that up too. So that if all of a sudden you get a spike, if I got a spike of water use at noon, I'd be a little worried. But it might be that somebody else is much more worried if they get a spike at 7 p.m. So we can start to say, well, what's normal for you? And what looks like a problem for you? And we can actually then send you an alert via text or via email, tell you about that, so that then you can actually respond very quickly to problems. And that's where that smart metering really steps you up. And we find it to be really useful for property managers who are, for example, managing a manufactured home park or a full apartment building. They can get those alerts as well, so that they're getting early notification of what's happening at the homes that they're taking care of or at the general property level. Oftentimes, irrigation might be run at the park level and not at the individual home level. So it's a really nice way for them to be able to differentiate as well. I will say it makes their billing a lot more precise also.
And one of my comments earlier was, I use water without really thinking about it. But I wonder if part of that is learned behavior, because historically, I don't have any visibility into the water usage, right? It's just one lump sum, one cost, whatever it might be. And like I said, there isn't that visibility, that clarity of what is actually happening. So if I had this in my home, I do wonder if I would start realizing, oh, these are the behaviors that are driving my water bill to be what it is. And now that I know that, will I do things differently? Could I do things differently? You're providing this to property managers all day long so they can actually do that.
That's exactly right. And we actually provide it to residents as well. And this is a new thing that the industry is starting to do a lot more. Historically, our primary purchasers and our primary customers have been the utilities themselves. And so the industry has specialized in what I would refer to as utility specific or utility focused software that's really designed for people who are experts in water. They think in units like hundreds of cubic feet, and gallons per minute is considered to be the sort of most standardized and easiest accessible. Let me tell you, when I started in this industry, I couldn't think in a gallon per minute, right? It's not the way I think about it. If you tell me what the dollars per day are, I understand what you're talking about. And so a lot of some of the shift too has been, and we just developed a platform, and a number of our, like I said, a lot of folks across the industry have done this, is creating a new version of the software that's specifically tuned to residents and to users of water, sort of normal everyday consumers, where you can also pull that up on your phone. You can have it on your app. What we find is that when people can see exactly what you're describing, they can see that they are even using water and roughly how that's changing over time. What we find is even if they don't have major issues, they end up using less. So there's this really interesting data point where when you put in a water meter, and especially these smart water meters, we see on average about a 12-gallon a day reduction in water use just because we're measuring it and they know we're measuring it and they can sometimes see it, or they get a sense for it. And it's these sorts of basic behavioral economics that drive what we do on a day in day out basis that we aren't even aware of. But it turns out it has real impact.
And that is so interesting. So there's no leaks, there's no problem, but just the fact that they know that it's being tracked and it's monitored and they can see it, it changes the way they think about it. An analogy I just thought about is almost like the way that cell phones have worked historically, and maybe the back and forth shift with cellular data, right? At one point it was how many gigabytes per month do you have on your plan, or megabytes or whatever it was at that point. Then it was unlimited. Once you go to unlimited, you really don't care how much data you're using. But back when they were monitoring it and you'd have to pay extra when you went over, all of a sudden we all thought about that, right? Like, well, if I download an app or if I use this, I'm going to possibly go over my limit and have to pay more. It's that awareness that helps create good behavior at the consumer level.
It's a great analogy, and that's spot on. There is an interesting sort of follow-on analogy here, which is that the way that the utilities do billing is often that you hit these different thresholds, where if you bump over $10,000 or 10,000 gallons of usage, for example, all of a sudden your rates go up by another notch. And so what we have on our team are folks who carry around their app in their own cell phone, monitoring their own houses. And they'll make a phone call and say, hey kids, turn off the, you know, you gotta get the hose off. We're about to go over the threshold and our rate's about to go up. Right. And so it absolutely does drive behavior in that way. And when we close the loop, when we help take that information and put it in a very simple visual platform that somebody can pull up on their phone, we find it absolutely drives behavior and really helps them better understand how it's impacting their bottom line.
Yeah. And I really love the idea of empowering the consumer to understand what's really happening. When we think about it, you know, we're sitting here in the United States of America, and I think a lot of people take for granted things like the availability of water, even in areas where it's scarce or you're living off a well, things like that. You still think that you have access to it. You can go get it. We have a lot of resources here. Globally, there's a lot of people that struggle with access to water, right? And so sometimes we take that for granted, but giving us all that data, I think, really starts to highlight the level of effort sometimes it takes to get water to you, and how privileged we really are just to be able to, again, turn on that water and make it so easy. And maybe we should change behaviors to use less, not only save ourselves money, but also have less strain on the overall resource.
Certainly. And as temperatures are going up and as droughts are increasing and as we end up with wildfires, right, all of these different elements end up impacting us a lot. I did a lot of work in emergency management early on, and did a bunch of hurricane response, for example. And one of the big issues was post-event, you know, figuring out how many pallets of water need to go on a C-17 and get sent to a distribution center. And, you know, when we just saw the big fires in LA this last fall, was it? I'm losing track of time already. What we saw was that so many pipes had burst from the fire, the flames themselves, that there was a lot of trouble in getting water, clean water for drinking, let alone water for firefighting. So we start to think about these infrastructure systems and the different types of impact. There's the source issue, which is that, you know, only 1% of all the water on the planet is drinkable. So it's much, much less than we anticipate. We sort of think about being a water planet, but not a lot of it is consumable. And when we take that and then we start to figure out who needs it, when and where, that map doesn't always line up. So you end up with a lot of people in Las Vegas who need a lot of water, and they don't have a lot of water in the desert. So there's also a sort of where and when problem.
Yeah. No, that is so interesting. Yeah, I was just in Las Vegas for a show recently, and it's very hot there. So I think consuming water and needing water for other things is really important. But again, depending on where you live, you may not think about that on a day-to-day basis, but we all can contribute to that. One of the things that you had mentioned earlier was this idea of property value being tied to different costs at the property, right? And you talked about manufactured housing, right? As far as water is a higher cost as a percent compared to maybe other types of properties and multifamily and things like that. So I want to dig into that a little bit more, because I would imagine that being able to understand whether or not there's a leak on the property can also help with the cost and value of the property itself. And in the essence of, you can almost prove that the infrastructure is in good shape.
100%. I think about this a lot. It's a little bit like a roof in my mind. If you can, right, in the sense that if you're in the market for a house and you drive up and it's got a fresh coat of paint and a fresh roof, you tend to assume that they've done the basic maintenance. You don't worry as much about your foundation because you're pretty sure that if they've taken good care of the roof, they're probably taking good care of the foundation. I think something very similar applies to the manufactured housing community. If you know that they've significantly reduced leaks, for example, in a lot over the course of the last 5 years or since the last purchase, or if you're seeing alerts on their system all over the place, it's an indicator that that infrastructure needs new investment. And considering that often those types of investment and CapEx spend is a massive impact within the first year or two after a purchase, it can be a really good sort of leading indicator of potential issues down the road. And a hard to fake measure of whether those investments have been done in a proactive way.
Yeah, I mean, no one wants to be surprised with a very large expense. Like I said, CapEx is a real thing. They're planning for that, right? Because they're walking onto the property. They want to increase the value of it, especially if they're looking to maybe not hold the property for a long amount of time, but they're not anticipating the things they can't see, right? And when it comes to water infrastructure, it's you can't see it, right?
And this is where smart water meters make a huge difference because you can actually start to see it.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
So when you start to think about data, you have a lot of data there, and you want to provide value to the property manager, to the resident. I'd love to know where you start. You know, there's so much to look at, so many different pieces. How do you analyze it in a way that you know you're going to provide value with all the effort and work you're putting in?
Yeah, so I always start with the person. It's always thinking about who is the person on the other end of the data who actually are making a decision. They're using that data and that information for something. So if it's a resident, what they're really interested in is how much is that going to cost them on the next month's bill. And they're going to want to see that right up front. And they're going to want to know if there's anything they can concretely do about it. So when I'm designing user interfaces and thinking about the data that we're going to show, I'm going to make sure that I'm using a unit that makes sense to them. It might be gallons per minute. If it's gallons per minute, I'm definitely going to show them a line chart, right? Are we up? Are we down? Right? The sort of little indicators of how am I doing today. Also, when we're talking about leaks or alerts or when there's a problem, I want to make sure that they see that right up in front, right? So they're going to get that top of the page, hey, you have an issue. And preferably, they're also going to get a text to their phone. So that's one side of this. Also, that's one of those things I want to just looping back on our last point about property values. That is another place that we see a lot of value add. When the residents understand and can validate their own bills, it makes them a lot happier as tenants. They're less likely to move. Tenancy and occupancy is a major driver of property values, particularly in the manufactured housing space. But I just want to close that loop as well, that this sort of way of communicating this type of information is also a proactive indicator of communication structure and value add for the tenants. But when we start then thinking about other types of uses for these data, so you start with the resident, that's the sort of what's going on at my house. Then you can move up to the property manager. And this can be property manager across a manufactured housing community. It could also be property manager of six different apartment buildings across the city. In either case, they're very often responsible for all of their infrastructure and utility costs, and it's their job to keep those costs down. That's their KPI to their bosses. So they want to be able to see what's happening in real time, see when there are any issues, pinpoint those issues down to the specific location, and preferably what the problem is. So we have a bunch of folks, and this is where a lot of our expertise comes in. We can actually look at a consumption map and say, oh, that's a stuck toilet flapper. You have a leak, and that leak has a very specific signature. And we can actually tell you exactly what to go fix. And you will save this many gallons a day by fixing that toilet flapper, right? And those things end up mattering a lot for a property manager where that's actually their indicator of success. That's what they're getting evaluated on. Now, roll that up to, we'll call it a private equity firm or an investment firm who owns that property and 10 others. They want to know two different sets of things. One is they want to be able to compare their buildings next to each other. Hey, who's being managed well? Who's not? Where are my investment risks? What might I want to look at offloading before I have to do another round of CapEx? And then there's on the M&A side, where they're going in and they're saying, well, is this a good property to invest in. So one of the things that we can use do using our data is that we can start to aggregate and create benchmarks for what's normal. And again, what's normal in Cincinnati is probably different from what is normal in Phoenix from a water usage. And certainly even a sort of, is most of that water being used outdoors versus indoors? But we can actually provide you with those benchmarks. And when somebody's doing an M&A analysis, they want to know, is this a big spender? Is this a low spender? You know, very often what they're looking for are fire sales, right? They're looking for actually parks or properties that need work. Well, it's not a bad indicator. If you know that they're sitting at 40, you know, they're 40% efficient and the average is 60% efficient, well, maybe that's a good one to invest in. If average is 60% and actually this one's coming in at 10%, oh boy, that might be a big deal CapEx investment in the first couple of years. And so not a great target. So it becomes a really nice indicator for those folks as well. In any of these cases, we and other providers in the market provide the usually a residence or user consumer application. We provide the like I said, the utility or water expert software, and then we can pipe it in to your ArcGIS, your Power BI, your Tableau, any of your standard BI tools, and then people are able to use those for their own analysis as well.
Yeah, thanks for breaking all that down. And I really loved where you started with the whole, like, well, who is looking at it? Because if you've worked in any type of company, any business structure for any amount of time, you know that we have a lot of reports. We love creating spreadsheets. And I have to think 90% of the time, nobody even looks at these because it's not the right data for the right person at the right time, right? It's just not telling them what they need to do their job better. It's just general KPIs or general information, and it's just not what they want. And it probably took hours or sometimes even days to collect the data. Where you're looking at it different, you're saying people don't need a million different data points. They only want the five that matter most to them in the moment. So I think that was so great. And I have to go back to your comment about the toilet flapper, because that's such a great example of an issue, because in many situations, the resident may never report that as a maintenance issue, right? Yeah, the toilet's leaking, but you jiggle the handle, all that whole story. And they just kind of put up with it because they don't want to submit a maintenance request and take a day off work to wait for the maintenance tech to show up and help them. So that will continue on indefinitely until the unit is turned, or maybe not even fixed then if it's not caught, right? Where your software can catch it and it's $5 part maybe and save hundreds of dollars long term.
That's exactly right. And that's that benefit of both the analysis and then getting the quick report. And again, being able to zero in on what the problem is. Because it's one thing if somebody walks up to you and says, did you know you're losing 5 gallons a day? You'd look at them and say, okay. At least I would. where do I even start, right? I don't know if that's out into my lawn off of a broken irrigation head, or if that's a toilet that's been running, or if my kid just took a very long shower today.
No, it's very true. And the fact that your data can see that and relay it and talk to people in the language that they want to be spoken to is so powerful. And again, obviously we talked about the resident side, the PM side, but I love that you talked about even the investor side of things. This really does matter. I actually recall talking to someone specifically, and you talked about looking for properties that are kind of fire sale situations. They look for properties where there is poor water management, where they're not doing billing. Maybe they're taking on the cost, all of these different things. They know they can walk in and provide a better resident tenant experience by providing transparency, and they can actually increase the value of the property as well. Like instantly overnight, they know they can apply instant value and a better living experience to people that are there. And so that gets exciting. I mean, it seems like it's just water, but just water is really important.
Indeed. Well, and to your point, people know, especially in the US, we all have candles around for when the electricity goes off. Right, we sort of expect this. Oh, we're going to get a storm. We're going to need to put on some candles. We all know where they are. Everybody make sure that we've got the flashlights, have the candles, whatever. We don't really do that with water. Water is one of those things where, you know, you can go without power for a couple of days and it's obnoxious. You can't go without water for a couple of days. And that's where there's a very different set of expectations associated with it. So we take it for granted on one level, and on another level, it's the quickest indicator of big deal problems. And I just saw a report this morning that the very last pipes in Flint were getting replaced, I want to say this week. Those are the kinds of projects that's been a 10-year investment issue. When there are issues, they're big deal issues and they're big deal investments because you have to dig up everything. It's all underground infrastructure. Fun point of note, in cities like Boston, these sort of the original cities that were built up in the U.S., sometimes the pipes are still wooden. Sometimes they're brick. Oftentimes there's a really high percentage of just baseline assumed loss into the ground. I mean, we're talking like 30 to 40% assumed loss of clean water seeping into the ground because of these old pipes. So it just sort of gives you an idea of the extent of that infrastructure that sits underneath our cities and in our rural areas, way out to the middle of nowhere. And then we have the well systems, obviously, once you get too far out there. Yeah. But it's just this idea that it really is a big driver of our basic understanding of our own health and welfare.
Yeah, that is so interesting. And, you know, you spoke earlier about working in emergency management and preparedness and things like that, and how water is so critical. And I just love that point about, yeah, electricity goes out. We've got our flashlights and our candles. If water was unavailable for, I'm going to say, even hours, let alone a day, people start to think about it much differently, right? There just is no backup to this system. So it really is important. I often speak about how lucky we are to work in the housing industry and help provide housing to our nation, and how foundational it is. Well, water takes it even a step further, right? It's that element that we all really, really do rely on every single day to sustain life and our quality of life as well.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's a core piece of real estate, period. We assume it all comes together. But of course, when you get a house, you're going to get water. You get a home, you're going to get water. It's part and parcel.
That's right. Absolutely. So, well, Ellie, as we kind of turn towards the end of this episode, this has been such amazing information for our audience. I want to make sure you have an opportunity to talk a little bit more about Metron specifically. We hinted at it early as far as like what you're doing and kind of the 1 minute time frame that you're able to evaluate things. But if people want to learn more about what you're doing with data, what Metron is doing with water usage and consumption and all the smart meters, what do you want to share there? And what's the best way for them to reach out?
Yeah, great question. Thank you for the opportunity. So I joined Metron a year ago today, and I absolutely love it. It's a terrific place. What's really exciting for me about it is that, like I said, we've been in the industry for 30 years. We're some of the best water experts there are. And the team that I came into really knows this industry. We have a vertically integrated tech stack. What that means and why that matters is that we build the hardware. We also build the registers. We manage the comms. So we manage our own cellular comms. We integrate all of our own data, and then we build all of our own software. What that means is that when you get, and when I start working with the data that we're collecting out of our system, we really know the data. We understand it. We know what it means. What we find is that when other folks come in, and I had to learn it, water's not as straightforward as it seems. There's a lot to learn. And yes, it's relatively straightforward data in the sense that it's primarily consumption data. But when we get to classification, you know, one of the most important things that we have in this new data and AI world is high quality, clean data that we know what it is, we know how to make sense of it, and we know how to turn it into something useful. So we can come in and really help any of our customers across that whole range. Again, you know, yeah, we can sell you a meter, but we're also then collecting that data at the 1 minute increments. That's driving our new analytics, which is AI then driven and machine learning driven, that's getting piped into our data products and into our software products. And that capacity really gives us a chance to meet all of these needs that we've been talking about over the course of the conversation, where we have this range of users, we have a range of people who really need to understand how they're using water. And we can make that meaningful to somebody who's operating a hospital, somebody who's operating a bunch of real estate, and somebody who are people who are living in their own homes. So that's where I get really excited about what we're doing.
Yeah, that's great. And like you said, it really applies to everyone, right? Everyone uses water. So there's really a benefit to everyone that's out there. Well, that's excellent. Well, Ellie, I really appreciate your time. What's the best way for people to reach out and contact Metron if they want to learn more?
Metron.us.com. We're online. You can search us up. Metron and Sustainable Water or Smart Water Metering. You'll definitely find us. And I'm assuming you'll have some show notes, but anybody's welcome to reach out to me. I'm on the website. I'm Ellie Graydon, and my email is actually just elliegraydon@metron-us.com. So it all makes it very easy.
Very easy. Absolutely. Yeah. We'll drop some links in the show notes. Well, again, really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you, to learn more. We've worked with Metron for a number of years now and have always appreciated you and your team and all that you're doing for the industry.
Well, we really appreciate the chance to speak with you and working with you as well.
Excellent. Well, thanks again. And thank you to our audience for joining us for another episode. And until next time, keep going Beyond Rent.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Beyond Rent. If you enjoyed this podcast, spread the word on social media and with your peers in the industry. To be notified when more episodes are released, subscribe using your favorite podcast player. Beyond Rent is brought to you by Rent Manager Property Management Software. Learn more about Rent Manager's industry-leading software solutions at rentmanager.com. Until next time, keep going Beyond Rent.